Want to experience Christ United like never before? Download our app today. You can watch live and previous messages, take sermon notes, get calendar updates, find giving options, and more. Just go to your app store and search Christ United.
Thanks for joining us today. For more information on our church, check out christislove.org. Or you can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by following at ChristUnitedMB. Thanks again for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
If you had only known how to save a life, because we've been talking about the fact that He's the only hope, that the people you love, it's as though they're in a burning building and there's only one way out, and somehow you've got to try to help them find the way out, but they don't even know there's a need for a way out. They don't even believe they need to be saved, much less that Jesus is the way to be saved. And what you and I are trying to figure out is, how do I convince them of what it is they need and point them to Jesus? You ever run them off? Have you ever run them off? Have you ever like, God, how do I save a life? Here's the reality, is that you and I can't save a life. It's only God that can actually get into somebody's heart and bring them to Himself. But here's the profound truth, is that you and I are here to be a part of that. It's the only reason we're still on the planet. We would be going straight to heaven if it weren't for Him still using us to be a part of helping them to find the way. And so how is it that I'm supposed to help somebody find the way, help them to see the way without driving them away? How do I share my faith without wrecking my friendships? And the answer to that question is found in a very simple acronym that you've probably heard since you've been here. If not, get it. It's PALS. P-A-L-S. The first thing, number one you do, very simple, is pray. First of all, pray. And you don't pray because you feel like you're spiritually better than them. You pray because you care deeply about them. When Jesus saw the crowds, He had compassion on them. He cared deeply. And that's what prompted Him to say, pray earnestly. Because Jesus was just saying, it is when you begin to pray that heaven begins to move in behalf of those people that you pray for. It's why Paul, when he was writing to Timothy, said, I urge then, first of all, first thing, most important, is that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. And then he went on to say, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. He's saying, that's the most important thing, that you pray. And it's pleasing to God because God wants people to be saved, and heaven begins to move when you start praying. Right now in front of you, if our count is right, there's 2,671 people that you are praying for, that you're praying for daily. If you're not doing it, get to it praying daily, because already we're hearing reports back about how God is moving in the lives of the people that you're praying for. So the first thing is pray. It's the most important thing that you do, as you begin to pray, because heaven moves in response to that. Then next, simply ask. Ask them questions. Care about them. You actually get into people's lives and develop relationships and friendships, not by trying to get people interested in you and what you think, by getting interested in other people and what they think. Ask them questions. And not for a manipulation so you can get in what you want to say. How many people have ever had like a salesperson ask you a question, and what they were really trying to do is get you to say what they want you to say? Somebody was telling me something one time, and he said, like, hey man, what's going to be your favorite, you know, characteristic about this Chop-O-Matic once you have it in your home? And I'm going like, there ain't going to be one, because I don't want it in my home. And you're not asking me a question to find out what I think. You're just trying to get me to say it. The reality is, we don't want you to ask questions because it's part of a strategy. We want you to ask questions because what they think truly matters to you. Does it matter? Because if somebody matters to you, what they think matters to you. If somebody asks you what you think, it makes you feel valued, doesn't it? Jesus said, do to others what you would have them do to you. Care about these people and what they think. What matters to them? I want to know what they think. I've got a friend. I'm wanting for him to know Jesus. But the first thing is, I just love my friend. And he hadn't yet come to faith in Christ, but I know how he feels about 350 small block engines. I know how he feels about mixed martial arts. I know how he feels about his favorite television program, which is The Walking Dead. I know lots about him, right? Because what he thinks does matter to me. But if I didn't know how he was thinking about God, then he must not matter very much, because the most important thing about somebody, according to A.W. Tozer, is what comes to their minds when they think about God. What comes to our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And so if I never asked him that, then he must not really matter to me much at all. How many of you know that you've got friends and people you live with and people around you and people you work with, and you would say they matter to you, and you know a lot about what they think about the upcoming election. You know what they think about Trump or Clinton. You know how they feel about the Cubs or the Indians. You know how they feel about Walmart versus Target. You know how they feel about scrapbooking, about golf, about deer hunting. You know how they feel about Mexican food, but you have no clue how they feel about God. And you can say to yourself, well, the reason I never asked them about God is you're not supposed to talk about politics and religion. It'll always start an argument. It only starts an argument when your agenda is to tell them what's right and get them to listen to you. But if you ask somebody what they think about God and what they think about life and what they think about life after this life, and you really want to know, I promise you're not going to offend them. You're going to bless them if you ask them and truly care what they think. But you also ask because what they want truly matters to you. What somebody want truly matters to you. If you really care about them, what they want matters. In fact, there's a great example of this, that when Jesus was walking along the road, there was a man on the side of the road who was blind. His name was Bartimaeus. And he was crying out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And you know what everybody was telling him to do? They were saying, be quiet. Like, shut up. You're getting on our nerves. Because this guy had been blind. And having been blind for his whole life, likely, he had never had any source of income other than what people would drop in his cup. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like I've got to beg for whatever I get. And so what he wants is, he wants sustenance. He wants to be able to not have to do that, you know? Well, Jesus knew his greatest need was to be in a relationship with the Father and have eternal life. Of course he knew it, but what the guy wanted mattered to Jesus. And so Jesus called him to himself, and after he called him to himself, first question out of his mouth, Jesus said, was, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want for me to do for you? Because it matters. And it mattered to Jesus, even with some guys that he had asked that same question to just a little bit earlier, some of his disciples. And what they wanted Jesus to do was something that really wasn't going to be good for them. You know what I'm saying? They thought they knew what they wanted. How many people have ever known somebody who thought they knew what they wanted? And it was like, oh man, that isn't really going to be as good as you think it is. But guess what? It still mattered to Jesus. He still asked them, what is it you want me to do for you? Because what you want matters. Good or bad, it still matters. That doesn't mean that I want you to get it. It means that it matters to me because it's a big part of who you are. So does it matter to you? And matter you enough to listen? And most of us listen for one reason only. We listen so that we can have the hook, the opportunity to get in and say what we want to say. Isn't that how we listen? I listen for the chance to say what I think. I listen for the chance to get into the conversation. I listen for what you might say that might get around to the point that I want to make. But we don't listen for that reason if we truly care about somebody. We listen because we want to understand and value what they think. You know what? The most high compliment you can pay to anybody is to value what they think. If you value what somebody thinks, it shows them that they matter to you. And that's what we want to truly do, is care enough to value what somebody thinks, to understand them. How in the world can I hope to in any way be a positive influence in somebody's life or do anything to help them if I haven't even heard what their yearnings and their questions are, even understood their heart? As a matter of fact, the wisest man who ever lived said it this way, to answer before listening, that is folly and shame. How many people answer before you listen? You know, let me tell you the answer to your question that I hadn't even heard yet. You know, it's like, I've got to listen and understand. That's why Steve Covey took that same truth and put it this way. Seek first to understand, then to be understood. How many people know that I need to ask questions because I truly care? What they think matters, what they want matters. I want to listen because I truly want to understand them, and I want to be able to actually value what they say. I'm listening. Why? Because I really want to know how to love them. I listen to them because I want to know how to love them. That's why he listened to this guy. What do you want me to do for you? And of course, what did the guy want? What would Bartimaeus want? He said, I want to see. That's what I want. I mean, what I need right now is to see. And Jesus so often did this. He went to the need that people felt, and he loved them enough to meet that need. And then once he met that need, they would go like, wow, he's the one. And so they would follow him. That's what happened with Bartimaeus. God, by his faith, restored Bartimaeus' sight, and Bartimaeus immediately started following Jesus. Jesus knew that by listening, by knowing what mattered to people, knowing what was in their hearts and caring enough to do something about it, that he would show them a love that would cause them to trust him and follow him, and he did. over and over again. We share a story here that many of you know by heart, but it's about a guy named Joe Aldrich who reached a lot of people for Christ, and he learned a lot about it by asking how it was done in the lives of others. And there was a couple in a college town that was reaching many international students, and those international students from different backgrounds, Muslim, Hindu, atheistic, were coming to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And as they were, Joe asked this couple, how is it that you're helping to lead these people to a knowledge of Jesus and to a relationship with Him? And they said, well, what we do is we invite these people, they're international students, they don't have families here, so we invite them to eat with us, usually on Sunday afternoons. They said, yeah, cool. So then you tell them the gospel, you tell them about Jesus. They said, no, because they wouldn't have any context for that. It would feel like a manipulation. Matter of fact, it would be. No, we just feed them, care for them, and then when we find out that they have needs, they don't have family there, so if they're sick, we pick up their medicine or take them soup. We just love them. And then when they can't go home for the holidays, we invite them over to our house for holidays. We just treat them like one of our own children. We love them. And then he said this, we love them until they ask us why. We love them until they ask us why. And then he said this, he said, in our love, they meet Jesus even though they don't know who they've met yet. And then we have the chance to say, this is the love that you've been experiencing. It's the love of Jesus. And so, how about you? Can you do that? Can you just ask and listen and care and it matter to you enough to find out how to love somebody in a way that's really going to show them that God loves them through you, that they can meet Jesus, they can begin that process? Well, after you've asked and listened, you've prayed first and you've asked and you've listened, then it's time to share. And the sharing part is the hard part. How many people find it very uncomfortable and difficult to share your faith, to tell people about Jesus and how to be saved? Sometimes it feels like, I can't get this, how am I going to share it? Because here's why, it's like we look at sharing our faith as like something that we do because we want to do when we want to do it. It's like the proverbial encyclopedia salesperson that gets their foot in the door and blocks the door so you can't stop them, and they begin to share because they want to share. But the reality is that if you move the way the Holy Spirit would move you, you actually do share because they ask you to. In other words, there's something that hits a place where they want to know what it is that you know, that you want to share with them. Peter said it this way. He said, always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asked you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Because, see, in that context, he was even talking about in a context where people were persecuting the Christians and they were suffering and they were having difficulty. He says, look, even if the very people you're trying to love have been persecuting you, if you love them and you continue to have this hope in Jesus, they're going to ultimately wonder, what's different about you? And you always be prepared to give them an answer, but do this with gentleness and respect. And I just want to tell you that if you're sharing about Jesus, you're going to do it with gentleness and respect if you share because you love them. If you share just because you want to get some notches in your Bible or you want to fulfill something that you feel like you ought to do, want to do, well, it won't be that way. But if you share because you love them, whether it's somebody you've known all your life or somebody you've just met, if you love them, they're going to know it. And you're going to share with gentleness and respect. It was out of that love that Paul shared the gospel. He said to the Thessalonians, he said, we loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you have become so dear to us. We share because we love people. And man, if you love somebody, you want them to know Jesus. So you share because they ask you to. You share because you love them. And you share not as an option. You share because God tells you to. I mean, that's why you and I are here, because He wants us to help lead people to that way. As a matter of fact, He said this way, go and make disciples, which He's saying to make a disciple means to help them follow me. You help them follow me because you need to get them to me, because I'm the one that can lead them safely home, Jesus is saying. So your job is to help get them to me so they follow me. So you've been told to. You need to. It's because he's told you to, but he doesn't just tell you once and then leave it at that. But Philip was among the disciples who heard Jesus issue that great commission and saying, go and make disciples. And of course, from that moment forward, he was looking for ways to make disciples, but he was constantly praying and listening. Okay, God, where and how? Who can I share with? What do you want me to do next? In fact, it says this in Acts 8:29, that the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stand near it. So he's in Samaria and he sees this chariot and the Spirit says, go stand near that chariot. Go near that chariot. Stay there, you know? Now, here's the thing. He didn't hear an audible voice. I've never heard an audible voice in my life. You know it in your heart. Anybody ever know the right thing to do? Stop by. You need to just stop by and drop her a cake. You know what I'm saying? You just need to go over there and stand next to that person. That person looks lonely. Would you go over there? You know what I'm saying? You got a friend and all of a sudden you feel like you got to give them a call. Anybody ever felt that feeling? And God's just saying, obey the promptings. Just do what I tell you to do. Because I'm going to tell you when and what. If you'll just listen to me, I'll guide you, but you'll be able to show them love and you'll be able to move in and ask questions and listen carefully. That's what Philip did with this guy. The person in that chariot was a eunuch, a high-ranking guy, and he was actually already kind of seeking God. He was reading the scroll of Isaiah, the prophet, and Philip was just prompted to ask a question. Do you understand what you're reading? And the guy said, how can I understand if somebody doesn't explain it to me? And he said, come sit down. And Philip explained it to him and showed him that it was talking about Jesus. It was from what we know today was Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7, that he was reading at the time. And Philip just said, this is Jesus. And the guy gave his life to Jesus and was baptized. It was awesome. Guess why we pray? We pray because as we pray, God just prompts us and helps us to know, you know, go stand here. Ask this question. Just kind of, and it's not something to get nervous or anxious about. It's just loving somebody and allowing God to just prompt us and how to love the people around us. There's a great example of that that's told by Joe Aldrich as well. It was about a woman walking through a grocery store. And as she saw this lady in her cart full of stuff and children there and everything. And she said, I just felt this prompting like, I want you to just go and just buy her groceries, you know. She says, so she went and she just said, I just feel prompted to do this. And she bought the lady's groceries. And she said, and then she learned where the lady was from and everything else. And she said, a while later, I felt this prompting in my heart. And it was, you just need to get some shoes. And you need to buy shoes and take them to her. And so she said, I went and bought children's shoes. I just, you know, found a bunch of them on sale and brought the shoes to her house. And she said, I just felt this desire to share this with us. And she shared some shoes with her, you know. And she said, and later she got a prompting. It was real hard to follow. She said, I felt the prompting to buy women's underwear and take her underwear. Now, always choose the size smaller than the size larger if you're ever prompted to do that. But she bought her underwear and took her to the house and gave it to her. And she said, the lady just like said, stop, what is this? And she said, are you like stalking me? What's going on here? And she said, she was really upset. And she said, no, I just felt this prompting. She said, I just don't get it. She said, I'm in the grocery store and I'm looking at my buggy and I hadn't got enough money to get my kids food that they need. And then you come up and you say that you're going to pay for my groceries. She said, and then the kids are headed back to school months later, and all of a sudden you show up at the door and my kids didn't have shoes to go to school with, and you show up with shoes. And she said, and then I'm praying for a job and God opens an opportunity for a job interview, and then this job interview, she said, I was going to have a physical, and I was so humiliated because I was going to have to go to a physical and all of my undergarments are years old. She said, I was humiliated to think about it. She said, and here you show up with underwear for me. And you know what her question was? Why? And you know what the answer is? Jesus. I just want to know, will you just listen? And will you just go because he says go, share because he says share? And you may say to yourself, but I don't know all the answers. Like Philip knew the answers. He could explain from the book of Isaiah what was going on. And I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to go through the Bible and explain about Jesus. Well, guess what? Today, there's a little Bible that we have available to you that has little thumb tabs in it, and it'll lead you through the Bible to five verses where you can very simply explain about Jesus' love for us and the fact that we're all in the same boat and He made a way for all of us and He loves you and He wants a relationship with you. And you can lead somebody through that conversation. Come today, right after this, doesn't matter if you signed up or not, to the dome in the back. We'll give you the Bible. We'll teach you how to share it. And you can, like Philip, just kind of simply explain this is about Jesus. That sound fair? Question is, will you even take the time to find out how to share that? And the interesting thing is that what you're sharing and what Philip shared didn't take a rocket scientist. He didn't have to be a theologian. It was simply that Philip had been with Jesus. And this was about Jesus. And all Philip had to say was, hey, I know the one that you're looking for. You see, what we share, please hear this. I share a relationship, not a religion. I share a relationship, not a religion. And that's all you're doing is you're just introducing people to Him. And you don't have to know everything to be able to do that. In fact, somebody can help me with this, but I think probably the most effective witness that's mentioned in the New Testament in terms of what they said having the most direct impact on people's lives outside of the apostles who were preaching it, the most effective witness was a woman that Jesus had met at a well. She had spent about 1 hour with him. He had told her about her life. You've been married 5 times. You're living with a man who's not your husband. That's what happened. He just said, look, I know your life, and yet still I would fill your life if you let me. And she, with that little bit of experience, that's all she knew, she went back to the people in that Samaritan village that she lived in, and here's all she said. Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. That's all she said. All she did was lead them to Jesus. All she had done was spend an hour with Jesus, and in an hour or so with Jesus, she had come to know that, wait a minute, He knows me, and He loves me, and I feel this sense that there's something here more. I believe this might be the one that God sent. And so she goes back and says, come meet a man who told me everything I ever did. That was her witness. So don't you understand that all she had to do was lead him to Jesus? Jesus could take care of the rest. All they had to do was get to Jesus, and Jesus would show them who He was. He would do the same thing for them He did for her. She just had to lead them to Him. Jesus said, I am the way. You just got to get them to me, and then I'll get them the rest of the way. But you say to yourself, but there's so much I don't know. What if they ask me a hard question like the Trinity? Or what if they ask me about why is there suffering in the world? Or what if they ask me, like, how about other religions? Let me let you in on a very important truth that you don't need to share what you don't know about. I share what I do know, not what I don't understand. Please don't try to share something you don't understand. If they ask you how about other religions, don't try to answer that question if you don't know the answer to that question. If they ask you about the Trinity and you can't explain the Trinity, don't try. The reality is all you got to do is share what you do know, not what you don't understand. This woman didn't understand a whole lot. It was clear from her conversation with Jesus. But she just said, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. And then she said this, could this be the Christ? She's not even absolutely sure herself. And God used that witness so powerfully that the people of that town, it said, they came out of the town and made their way toward Jesus. And as they made their way toward Jesus, it says that they came, they met Him, they believed the same thing she did about Him. And later they said to her, we now believe, not just because of the testimony, what you said, not just your word that He told you everything you ever did, but now we know for ourselves that this is the Savior of the world. They called Him for 2 days to spend with them, and they trusted Him as their Savior. Because she said one thing, He told me everything I ever did. I just want to ask you this question. Can you share what Jesus has done for you? Is it that simple? Can you simply share what Jesus has done for you without trying to answer any questions? If they ask a question you can't answer, then you can say, I don't know. How many people? Let's try it together. You ready? 1, 2, 3. I don't know. Thank you. All right. And how about if we just get them to Jesus? I think Jesus can handle answering their questions. He said, let them seek and they'll find. You just tell them what you do know. That's all I want you to do is tell them what you do know. I want you to share what Jesus has done for you. In this series that I'm encouraging you to listen to, the entire series on the only hope, the second sermon in the series was spoken by Brent Richardson, a young man. It's a powerful message. You got to hear it. I had a man I was sitting with, along with Brent, and this man said to Brent, he said, that was the most powerful message I have ever heard. He said, I've never heard a more impactful message than that. And guess what Brent did? Brent simply told us what Jesus had done for him. That's what Brent did. And Brent telling us what Jesus did for him was the most powerful message that man and many others here have ever heard. Jesus just wants you to tell what He's done for you. Galena, a young lady that was here for our sermon preview, said, you know, all it is sharing my testimony. I've tested Him and I found Him to be a life changer. She said, I used to be all into fitness and my life was all wrapped up and that was my life. And then I came to Jesus and now I'm free and now I'm full of love and joy. And she's getting so psyched up and going like, go, Galena, you know, go, girl. Because she's just sharing what Jesus has done for her. Now, I want to tell you this. It's so important to hear this, that if you hadn't got anything to share about what He's done for you, then I promise you don't know Him. You don't know Him. They share, anybody who knows Him, I share the way to Jesus because I've been there myself. All Brent did was say, hey, I've been in a place, I've been like some of you have been, I've been in a place where I was wrecked by addictions and struggles and selfish ambition and all kinds of stuff. And then Jesus came and He made a difference. I promise you, if you ever encounter the Son of God, tune into this. It will radically, dramatically impact your life. And if your life has not been impacted, you don't know Him. Read 1 John and see what John, a man who knows Him, says. He says, if you know Him, it's going to radically impact your life. And if you're a person who says, but I was raised in a Christian home, so I've known Him all my life, good, then you have a lot more stories than the rest of us about what He's done in your life. Then you've got a whole bunch to tell about the difference that He makes. But if you can't tell me the difference Jesus has made in your life, then you've never known Him. This woman encountered Him for 1 hour, and after 1 hour, she said enough to know that, I believe this might be the Christ. Those people from her village spent 2 days with Him, and after 2 days say, we know He's the Savior of the world. And so I want to know, will you share Jesus because you've been there yourself? And will you just simply say what you do know and don't worry about what you don't understand? Can you simply tell what Jesus has done for you? If you do that, the power of this woman's testimony brought many people from her village to a saving relationship with God just because she was willing to say what Jesus had done for her. And so here's the question. Where's the urgency that we talked about last week? Y'all remember last week we said it's like the people you love are in a burning building with only one way out. And it's like, oh my God, what are we going to do? We got to somehow lead them to that way out. But the problem is that nobody knows there's really a fire. Nobody believes that it's really going to happen. And when it happens, Jesus said, it's going to happen in a blink of an eye. Do you know that in one of the fires I talked about last week, which was the Coconut Grove fire where nearly 500 people lost their lives, it was horrific, nightclub fire. Well, in that fire, the firemen said that when they went in, they found people who were still sitting at their tables with their drink glasses in their hands who had died. They were so quickly overcome by the smoke and the fire. Now, Jesus said it's going to be that way. He says, here's the reality. People are going to be going on. They're going to say, where's this coming He talked about? Everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. There really isn't. There's nothing happening here. And so Jesus is saying, right now, even as they think that there's no problem, there's no issue, you've got one primary task above all else. You've got to get them to me and get them to me now. You've got to get them to the Son and get them to the Son. And so that means if I'm going to do that, if I'm going to get them to the Son, you've seen in the videos all the ways that don't work, right? It's urgent that you begin now praying. Pray earnestly. Say, God, begin to work in their lives. I'm ready to start praying and start asking. Start asking because what they think matters and what they want matters. Start caring enough to just ask them and listen to them so that you can truly understand and value what they think. Listen to them so you can know how to love them, because in your love, they're going to meet Jesus even though they don't know who they've met yet. And then share. Share because they want you to. Share because you love them. Share because God told you to. Share because you're listening to the promptings of the Holy Spirit as He gives you opportunities to just love them and share with them what He's done for you. Yeah, do it. And so, Lord God, it's our desire with all of our hearts right now. We just want to say, God, would You put in us right now, even as we come into this last song, would You put in us, Lord God, a passionate desire to pray and ask and listen and share with every person we know so that we can get every person we know to You. God, if we can just get them to You, we know You can show Yourself strong and true and beautiful and powerful. You can answer their questions and meet their needs. And Lord God, You can convince them of who You are because You are the Son of the living God. And You are the way, and You are the truth, and You are the life, and You are our Lord. And Lord, we just want to get them to You so they can know You. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, on the front here, I said there's 2,671 names of people that people have already begun to pray for. If you put a name up there, I hope that you've got a card reminding you and you're praying for them every single day because God's moving in response to those prayers. But you may have somebody on your mind right now that you haven't begun to pray for and you want to put their name up here. There are baskets up here, and I encourage you to come and take one of those prayer tags, write the name, just one name per tag from this point forward, just one name per tag. You can use as many tags as you want to, And you just write on that banner the name of that person. Write it on a card so you'll keep praying for them every single day. And leave it on the altar. Don't try to hang it. Leave it on the altar, because at the end of this service, we're going to begin praying for them and all these others. And we're going to watch God do something powerful, drawing them to Himself. Let's stand together, and we invite you to come.
Thanks for listening to this podcast by Christ United. If you'd like to respond to today's message, or if you want to share how God is using this ministry in your life, please send us an email to media@christislove.org. Or you can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by following @ChristUnitedMB. Thanks again for joining us, and may God bless you.